Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Here we are now in the second hour of tonight's Barn Burner. James Edwards and Bill Rowland here with you on the Political Cesspool radio program. Again, broadcasting live from AM 1380 WLRM radio studios in Memphis, Tennessee, and going out live around the country to our affiliate stations thanks to the marvel of modern technology and satellites and Republic Broadcasting and all that good stuff. Great first hour. Alan Stang, we've got a little time to spend with you before we welcome our second guest coming up a little later on during this hour. Joe Sobrin, very legendary figure. We're going to find out what he's been up to lately, and we're very much looking forward to that. Bill, I was at Walmart earlier tonight. I don't guess I should mention that because it's nothing but,
Chinese third world import. With cash registers.
You got it. But I was there with my wife tonight, nevertheless, and I couldn't help but think how glad I was to be at a Walmart in Tennessee than that Walmart in New York on the day after Thanksgiving. I mean, what do you make of that story?
Well, I think
it's... Is it in poor taste to even bring it up? But I mean, you know what I'm getting at here. I mean, Would you see an instance like that in Boise, Idaho, for instance?
Well, of course, it's indicative of the, of the... soulless slum mentality of some areas where the materialism of the mob is more important than the life of a man. And of course, the hideous part of this was that not only was he trampled under the crowd as they barged into this Walmart, but they left the man on the floor to die. They just walked right past him and went straight for the televisions and the VCRs and the DVD players and the toys. They just ignored a dying man for the sake of their own greed and materialism.
Well, and believe me, I don't need to probably go into a lot of detail to convince people that there's nothing in Walmart worth killing a man for. But, again, it goes back to the difference in culture. We are trading down. We're losing the founding stock of America, replacing them with the likes of that. And if anyone is curious, I don't know how anybody could have missed this story, but hundreds of we'll just call them diversities, they got tired of waiting for the after Thanksgiving sale at Walmart to begin at 5 a.m. and broke through the doors, trampling to death a 34-year-old sock clerk who was trying to hold them back. And actually, at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, you can find the pictures of the crowd, no white faces.
James, consider this.
For what it's worth.
No shame.
Those are the facts.
No shame at all. Where is Jesse Jackson saying what a horrible incident this was and how ashamed those people ought to be? Where's Al Sharpton? Where's the shame? That if this had been a white crowd, that was trampling a black stock clerk underfoot, then Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton would absolutely be ranting about how white people have no respect for the life of a black man, and how once again the whites simply trample over anybody to get what they want. They would be on top of the roof screaming for justice, and that Walmart should be sued, and that this was racism in action, and it's an example of how little regard that white people have for life. And of course, when the opposite happens, I don't know whether the stock clerk was white or not. It doesn't matter. He's dead. The fact is that it showed an absolutely hideous and ugly disregard for life, and I think it's indicative of the mentality of people who were raised by the state and who have been nurtured by the state.
Bill,
they have no regard
tight,
for life.
Set tight. You're on a roll, but we got to go to break. The Political Cesspool returns right after this.
There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Now that the election is over and the shock is beginning to wear off, Ready Reserve Foods, in an effort to get as many Americans prepared for the promised changes of the new administration and to help you and your family survive the global economic crash, Ready Reserve is offering the pre-inauguration special. Between now and January 20th, 2009, all food units U1 through U7 are being offered at wholesale prices. That's a 33% savings. A year's supply of meals starts as low as 73 cents per meal. Ready Reserve Food offers only the highest quality dehydrated food, packed in double enameled cans in an inert nitrogen atmosphere, allowing a 15-plus year shelf life. Ready Reserve has been manufacturing since 1972, giving them the freedom to offer you amazing savings. Great-tasting Ready Reserve Foods at wholesale prices. Order now at ReadyReserveFoods.com or call today, 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression, varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open-pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our homestead collection, 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 postpaid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
We were talking just before that brief segment to open up the second hour about the horrible, it was a horrible incident at the Long Island, New York Walmart, but it reminded me very vividly of the behavior of the residents of New Orleans in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. And if you really want to find one of the best shows I think that this show has ever produced, one of them, we have a lot of very good shows. All of them are, in fact, very good. But one of the ones that sticks out of my mind is one that Bill and I did immediately after Hurricane Katrina. So go back in the archives and take a look at that if you can. Very riveting program, and I think you'll see why I was drawing a parallel there between the Walmart in New York and Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. So go check that out. You know what I'm trying to say. Check that out in the archives at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We got a lot more we want to talk to you about before we welcome our second guest, but first we want to take a call. Keith in Indiana, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening.
How are you doing, my friend?
Oh, very good, thanks. I just was listening. I liked Alan Stang's characterization of Obama, but I just can't quite believe that, you know, Patriot radio shows still talk about an election. If Obama won the election, do we have a verifiable vote count? Aren't there just a couple of corporations owned by citizens of Israel that really count the votes, quote, count? I mean, there's no election without a verifiable vote count. When I wasn't a patriot group in the middle 90s. We were talking, you know, we were always speculating, when are we going to end elections in America? And then I realized that they've ended a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to verify that Obama won anything.
No, you're exactly right. Listen, let me just say this, because you're bringing up a very good point, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. I have no reason to believe that my vote, and I've never voted for anyone who's won. Let me just first go on record and say that. I voted for Chuck Baldwin this year and all the way down the ballot. I didn't even vote for an alderman who won, but because I always vote for the candidates who should win or would best be suited to represent the founding stock of this country. And obviously, those aren't the people that are in vogue on the mainstream media, but you do bring up a good point. We have no reason to believe that our votes are counted accurately. But that being said, what are we going to do about it? Now, that's a $1 million question. What do we do? And even if we can come up with a plan, how do we get our people, you know, this rugged, individualistic, European-type people to work together on it?
Well, you know, I mean, even hardcore communists like Mao have some truth. All power comes from the barrel of the gun.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Ed M. Rothschild and Rockefeller aren't going to give it back. You know, I mean, there's nothing that really can be done except, you know, what I've been telling people is study the Word of God. Look, here's another key thing. I mean, the words Jew and Gentile. Do you know how confused our people are of these words? Every time one of these Protestant pastors tells me he's a Gentile, I go, what do you mean? You're a Greek or you're a nation? Because that's what the word means. These men don't even look up the words they're using. That's how bad this is. So here we have people talking about winning an election. We have pastors who don't understand even the foundation of the faith. I mean, I'm an Israelite, and I'm German and Irish.
I know exactly where you're going with that, and I think there's a lot to be said for that. Now, I think what you're trying to say is that we need to first have a semantic awakening. Is that what you're saying? We need to find out exactly what we're talking about. So everyone's on the same page. It's a very deep, deep, deep issue. We might have to have you back on for a full hour one time, because some of the subjects that you're broaching here are going to go over, well, perhaps not the heads of our listeners, because we have a very enlightened audience, but it's probably more than I'm prepared to get into right now. But I do appreciate you for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for listening. Hey, Bill, are you back yet? Bill Rowland's still out and about. He had to
no,
step
I'm
out.
No, I'm back.
Of the
I'm back, James.
Oh, he is there. Okay,
no,
you are
I'm
back
here.
In your little
I'm
room
here.
Over there.
I'm here. I wandered off for a moment.
Couldn't quite see you from my vantage point, but you know, I want to shift gears here, you know, briefly. Yeah, we only have about 10 minutes before our next break. It is December now, and the war on Christmas is back in full force, being perpetrated by the usual suspects. Did you hear this one, Bill? Every year, you know, we do this in December. Every year we talk about the war on Christmas, how they're trying to take Christ out of Christmas. You know, and it's, who are they? Of course, you know, the Jews, the Zionists. But it just gets worse and worse and worse as the culture war continues to move ahead unabated. And, you know, they really get worked up into a frenzy this time of year. But this time I got a little story here. That kind of goes along with all that, but it's just a little more absurd than even I'm prepared to accept. All right, here it is. Anyway, I'll just cut to the chase. Just in time for Christmas, you know what they're offering now as presents, Bill? Gift cards for abortions. Have you heard of this? Planned Parenthood of Indiana has announced just in time for Christmas, or just in time for the holidays, I should say, that it will begin selling gift certificates at its clinics and online, which can be used for all services, including payment for birth control, STD testing, and abortion. And here's what they're saying in their advertisement. I don't even mean to laugh, but I mean, what can you do? And I quote from their ad, "Why not buy a loved one a gift this holiday season that they really need?" Bill, any thoughts? I mean, what can you say to that?
Isn't that perfect for grandmother? You know, just the thing when you thought you'd gotten her everything for grandma this year. Just get her that Planned Parenthood gift card, and you know, I mean, that's the gift that says everything, doesn't it? But you know, James, I understand that there's that this also includes vasectomies and other things. I mean, it's the cult of death at Christmas, you know. And I'm aware too that some atheists, I think, up in New York are going to are trying to put up a sign where there is a menorah and a nativity scene on some public property, you know, pronouncing atheism as the real reason we should celebrate the holidays. But it's a cult of death and hate. It's a cult of doing away with everything that has to do with the joy of life and the joy of salvation and the joy of the Spirit. Because what these people really want, they want to impose a system whereby they control life and death. And their contempt for life is that so great that the only solution they have to anything is death. Why not, if you're really going to give grandma a gift card, why not one that's, for a euthanasia clinic? Wouldn't that be fun for a Christmas gift? New parents getting their Planned Parenthood card and grandma getting her euthanasia card for whenever she's ready to go. But this is the world that the New World Order is putting together. It's a cult of death. It's a cult of reduction, not increase. It's a cult of famine, not plenty. And so this is what we should be prepared for with Obama and the other world leaders.
It's only going to get worse. You're bringing that. You're going straight for the jugular there. It's only going to get worse and more intense under Obama. This war on Christmas. It's not just Christmas. It's anything to do with Western culture and Western civilization. Of course, Christianity was a leading proponent of Western civilization.
Henny Youngman said something funny one time. He said he had thought about becoming an atheist, but he changed his mind. No holidays. And isn't that just so? That all our holidays are centered around, usually around commemorations, and we've turned them into holidays and celebrations. But they started out as religious observances. So these people who want to change Christmas or do away with Christmas forget that the entire process began with the worship of God and not with busting down the doors at a Walmart.
Well, you know, the war on the West continues on, the war on Christmas. And, you know, Christmas is losing. The West is losing. As I said, we've talked about this for 4 years, this time of year. Every year since we've been on the air, we try to highlight some of this because I love Christmas. Everybody with, you know, that's a European derivative loves Christmas. This is our culture. These are our traditions. And a few years back, Fox News' John Gibson even published a book on the subject entitled, appropriately enough, The War on Christmas, How the Liberal Plot to Ban the Sacred Christian Holiday is Worse Than You Thought. The title there pretty much says it all. This book came out a couple of years ago, Bill, back in 2006, and just a couple of weeks after the book was published, you might remember, and I remember vividly covering this very issue on the program 2 years ago, a senseless controversy over the Christmas trees erupted in Seattle. It was an eruption that was emblematic, I think, of the war itself, and it's just one of a few examples of the battles we're facing. To refresh your memory and everyone listening, that Seattle teapot tempest reached a peak, or a depth, I should say, after a rabbi protested and demanded that an 8-foot menorah, you were mentioning a similar situation, a symbol of, the Jewish festival of Hanukkah, be displayed next to the Christmas tree at the Seattle-Tacoma Airport. And what happened? Well, they removed all of the Christmas trees because, you know, it was offending one single rabbi. Now, how stupid and gutless is that? And why is there a controversy at all? How many people, Bill, are truly, and we got to go to break. I'll let you pick this up after the break. But how many people are truly offended about Christmas, and who are they? And we'll let the listeners ponder that question, and we'll give them the answer. The very obvious answer is almost a rhetorical question. We're going to figure it all out in just a minute when the political festival continues here on RBN. And by the way, everybody, don't forget to sign up for our website email list at thepoliticalcesspool.org. You can do that in the break, and we'll see you on the other side. Hopefully we'll have a few dozen subscriptions before we come back. All right, Political Cesspool continues right after this. James Edwards and Bill Rowland.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Now that the election is over and the shock is beginning to wear off, Ready Reserve Foods, in an effort to get as many Americans prepared for the promised changes of the new administration and to help you and your family survive the global economic crash, Ready Reserve is offering the pre-inauguration special. Between now and January 20, 2009, all food units U1 through U7 are being offered at wholesale prices. That's a 33% savings. A year's supply of meals starts as low as 73 cents per meal. Ready Reserve Food offers only the highest quality dehydrated food, packed in double enameled cans in an inert nitrogen atmosphere, allowing a 15-plus year shelf life. Ready Reserve has been manufacturing since 1972, giving them the freedom to offer you amazing savings. Great tasting Ready Reserve foods at wholesale prices. Order now at ReadyReserveFoods.com or call today 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
You never know when an emergency will strike. Whether it's a hurricane, tornado, blizzard, or earthquake, everyone listening to me right now could find themselves without food and power with little or no advance warning. With over 14 years' experience, Ready Made Resources stands ready to assist you to be prepared. The Ketaden Vario Microfilter is a lightning-fast water filtering system that removes waterborne bacteria and cysts, and it also improves the taste of water. Ready Made Resources carries Mountain House Foods, the number one lightweight, compact, great-tasting food choice that you should have stored away as part of your emergency preparedness kit. There's free shipping on both of these items. For more information, go online at www.readymaderesources.com or call toll-free 1-800-627-3809. Ready Made Resources is here to help you be prepared. And now let's return to the political cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to the program, picking up where we left off about the war on Christmas. I mean, if you pick up a newspaper, if you go on the internet, you'll find that every vestige of this sacred holiday is being attacked. It's being attacked from coast to coast. So many examples. The news is replete with them. And there's a clear bottom line, I think, to all the dissensions surrounding the recognition and celebration of Christmas at this time of year. But why that dissension even exists is beyond me. However, since it does exist, perhaps a reminder is in order. Not only is Christmas a declared national holiday, and has been for 138 years, we are by far a predominantly Christian nation, the vast majority of whose citizens recognize and celebrate Christmas as not just simply a national holiday, but as a sacred Christian festival. So, Bill, I ask again, why all the controversy? When you read about all of these disputes and rancor surrounding Christmas trees and Christmas lights, and now they're calling it, you know, it's the season of holiday, you know, it's a holiday season. It's not Christmas even anymore if you watch commercials and go to the post office, and it's the holiday season. It's not the Christmas season. Who's doing all the complaining?
Well, the people who are complaining are not significant, except that the media exaggerates the importance of the complaint. And that's how the complainers get their power. When some atheist wants to put up a sign in front of a Christmas display, then that atheist is given power and influence by the media. Otherwise, they would be virtually unnoticed. The rabbi in Colorado or the complainer in some other state, they get all of their importance from the media. And alone, they're virtually insignificant. But this is really an expression of the power of the media over our lives and the power of the media to destroy our traditions and to hold up our faith to contempt. And I think one of the solutions is, particularly in smaller communities, my wife and kids went to a Christmas parade in a little town outside of Memphis and had a thoroughly wonderful time, and there were plenty of Christmas displays at this Christmas parade, is for people to go back to the idea of the 12 days of Christmas. That is, extend the Christmas holiday beyond one day and take shopping out of Christmas and turn it into a 12-day celebration. Well, if you stretch it over that length of time, you're really going to wear out your opponents and your detractors as far as the Christmas holiday goes, because you're going to take it over 12 days instead of just one day. But obviously the solution for us is that we've got to make bigger displays, hold bigger events, hold Christmas parties, hold more Christmas parades. And that's the way to overwhelm the detractors and the Grinches at Christmas.
Bill, pretty good prescription there. Hopefully it'll be something that our people do in unison and in cooperation with one another. Whether or not it happens remains to be seen, because I think if you rely on the media for your daily bread, as so many people do, it would appear as though Christmas is becoming more and more and more distinguished as each year goes on, and I don't want to see that happen. Christmas is a part of this culture, and our culture is dying here. We got to do everything we can to resuscitate it. Resuscitating our traditions is a part of it.
Well, let's challenge our listeners right now. All of our listeners out there who have not sent out Christmas cards, send Christmas cards to your friends and family.
Did you get my Christmas card, by the way, Bill?
I have not gotten it yet. I'm looking for it, and we're going to mail ours out. Send out Christmas cards to everybody you know. And also, on December 12th, let's start the celebration of Christmas, the 12 days of Christmas. On December 12th, let's challenge every one of our listeners to say Merry Christmas at least once a day. And that's how you undermine the attempts to destroy Christmas, is that you spread it by word of mouth. Spread it in the U.S. mail. Put up a Christmas display with a true Christmas message, not just happy holidays or welcome winter festival or any of that other nonsense, but a true Christmas message with the candles in the windows and Jesus is the reason for the season, that kind of thing. And then I guarantee you we'll overwhelm the opponents of Christmas. We'll show them that we're not backing off. Let's remember the scene in The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, where on Christmas Day all of the who's in Whoville gather around and sing hymns. That's what we need to do. We need to fill our churches during the Christmas season, and we need to be outspoken about Christmas.
And when you're going to the post office to buy those stamps to send the Christmas cards, be sure to buy the Christmas stamps. As I did, we sent out Christmas cards to everyone who has made a contribution to this show over the past 4 years, and that is becoming an increasingly long list, and we're excited about that. And if you want to send us a Christmas card in the Political Cesspool, our mailing address is on our website. Let's get into the spirit of the season, everybody. Our address is available at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We'd love to get a card from you. We got to go to break, it looks like. When we come back, Joe Sobrin, legendary guy. We're really excited to have him, and he's going to be on with us when the Political Cesspool continues in just a moment here on RBN. All right, 20 seconds still. Never mind.
Well, let's close.
By the way, I gotta say this. We're offering. Speaking of donations and Christmas cards and all that, we are offering as our Christmas gift to all of those out there listening to this program a free subscription to the Occidental Quarterly to anyone who donates $100 or more to our program. So help us stay on the air. Get a Christmas gift. Send us a Christmas card. We'll send you one. Man, we're gonna have it all worked out before the end of the show, Bill. I promise you. We're gonna figure it out during this break, I think. Anyway, we'll be back right after this, ladies and gentlemen, with Joe Sobrin.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
77 Sunset Strip. 77 Sunset Strip. 77 Sunset Strip.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Now that the election is over and the shock is beginning to wear off, Ready Reserve Foods, in an effort to get as many Americans prepared for the promised changes of the new administration and to help you and your family survive the global economic crash, Ready Reserve is offering the pre-inauguration special. Between now and January 20th, 2009, all food units U1 through U7 are being offered at wholesale prices. That's a 33% savings. A year's supply of meals starts as low as 73 cents per meal. Ready Reserve Food offers only the highest quality dehydrated food, packed in double enameled cans in an inert nitrogen atmosphere, allowing a 15-plus year shelf life. Ready Reserve has been manufacturing since 1972, giving them the freedom to offer you amazing savings. Great-tasting Ready Reserve Foods at wholesale prices. Order now at ReadyReserveFoods.com or call today, 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression, varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open-pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our Homestead Collection, 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 postpaid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host at the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, for the next few segments, we are certainly in store for a treat, and you are too, I guarantee it. On the line with us now is a man who is certainly a living legend, Joe Sobrin, a man who received his bachelor's degree in English from Eastern Michigan University. In 1972, Mr. Sobrin started working at National Review Magazine. He stayed 21 years, with 18 of them being served as senior editor. Along with his work at National Review, Sobrin spent 21 years as a commentator on the CBS Radio Spectrum program series. He is the author of the books Single Issues, Alias Shakespeare, and Hustler, The Clinton Legacy. Sheldon Richmond has stated that no one so explicitly or deftly connects what is happening in the world today to the loss of our freedom and the systematic usurpation of government. Absolutely no one. Lou Rockwell has called him a national treasure, and Patrick J. Buchanan opines that Joe Sobrin is perhaps the greatest columnist of our generation, and I happen to agree with Pat on that. Mr. Sobrin, welcome back to the show. We're very delighted to have you.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Edwards. Nice to be back.
Well, great to have you. I don't know if you remember your last time with us. It was a couple of years ago, but we remember
right.
It fondly,
yeah.
And it's great to have you again tonight.
Yes, I remember how intelligent the questions were.
Well, we're going to try to be equally as intelligent tonight. It gets harder and harder for us, you know, as America continues to devolve. But we'll see what we can do. But I want to remind everyone, and I don't think many people need reminding, because I've been getting a great buzz of emails coming in all week, people anticipating your interview with us tonight. But this is a man, ladies and gentlemen, that has spent a career. I don't want to date you, Mr. Sobering, but it spanned more than 30 years as
I'm 62 now, so I've been around a while.
You've been at it a long time, and I have to ask you, most of that time was spent as a quote-unquote, and we'll go into that at greater depth later, a conservative writer. So you have a perspective here. Can you explain to us how and why Republican Party conservatives have failed so spectacularly, and why they have so utterly betrayed the principles they once supposedly embraced?
Well, I suppose there are lots of reasons, but the thing that strikes me is they've somehow managed to make conservatism a synonym for big government and militarism.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I've kind of kept my distance from so-called conservatives now, because the real, seems to me, what conservatives should be doing is fighting above all for the normal. Not the old, not the traditional exactly, but the normal. And the normal is eternal. It doesn't change. You know? And when I see conservatives running like dogs chasing an ice cream truck to be trendy, to keep up with the fads of the day.
Yes.
It's very discouraging.
Well, I think this is why, you know, you mentioned some things have changed. Your thinking has changed. Certainly mine has. You know, why has your thinking changed? Can you recall any events or particular experiences that have brought you to your current perspective with regard to the Republican Party and again, so-called conservatism in general?
Well, yeah, one night in the early 80s, I was reading an essay by a long-gone commentator named Garrett Garrett. He used to write for the Saturday Evening Post. And he warned, he said, he was writing in the 30s, saying people are warning that the New Deal is going to lead to a revolution. He said the New Deal was the revolution. And he also said that the Rubicon had been crossed to when Harry Truman declared war in Korea without, or made war in Korea without consulting Congress. So, you know, these things, I'd missed these things. And I realized then that the kind of conservatism I'd been fighting for was the wrong kind. It was abnormal. And I studied the Constitution and the Federalist Papers, and there are hardly any politicians in Washington today who could hold an intelligent conversation with the Founding Fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Paul is about the only one. The rest of them, they could barely talk to Thomas Jefferson about the weather.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Well, obviously, it goes without saying. And I want to ask you a couple of questions about Dr. Paul a little later on in the interview.
Sure.
But this is certainly a question I want to infuse into the commentary here, trying to pick your brain as a well-respected journalist. Why do you reason, Joe, that so many of your fellow journalists, if not to lump you into a category with these degenerates, but why do you believe that so many journalists are so reflexively on the side of the government? And have you seen that get better or worse in your lifetime? We always talk about the media being the enemy.
Oh, it's worse because they don't ask. They don't ask basic principles. They don't ask where government gets its legitimacy. They just ask what government should do. The assumption is always that it should do something. If there's an economic downturn, why, of course, the government should act. They all assume this without argument. And, well, remember when, I think it was Dick Cheney who said, when we were talking about war with Iraq, he said the risks of inaction are greater than the risks of action. Well, that's the philosophy they all have all the time. I mean, almost anyone who achieves power in politics assumes that the government must do something. Almost doesn't matter what. Remember Harry Truman complaining about the do-nothing Congress?
Mm-hmm.
Well, on most things, Congress should do nothing. That's why its powers are carefully enumerated. So it won't just assume it has the right to do anything. But that's exactly what Americans now do assume.
Gridlock would certainly be favorable compared to the direction we're heading now, and that change that Barack Obama was talking about, if it's a change at all, and it's not, I don't see much that he's planning to do differently to alter the course we were currently going towards, but it's going to be a change for the worse. But you mentioned the Middle East there in Iraq. Is chaos in the Middle East an actual goal for the neoconservatives, do you believe?
Yeah, I think it is. I think they figure that the more chaos there is, the better for the state of Israel, which I don't believe is the case. I don't believe most Israelis believe it, but that seems to be their assumption. And, you know, peace is normal. War is abnormal. Mm-hmm. This country keeps preparing for war all the time. $500 billion a year for military, for preparations for war. And, you know, defense now means war and mass murder. And that's what we've become inured to. It's, you know, every time the U.S. sends troops somewhere, it's called fighting for freedom. Well, it isn't fighting for freedom. We're less free than we used to be. And part of it is because of the big military, which the founding fathers opposed.
Well, I like some of the words you're infusing here. And after I ask you this question, I want to turn it over to my co-host. I know he's chomping at the bit to get a word in and certainly take advantage of the rare opportunity to have a chance to talk to a man of your stature. But you're talking about normalcy and abnormality. Would both parties be the party of abnormality, and is there any difference whatsoever in the two parties right now, Joe?
Well, there are differences, but there's little squabbling differences, like a couple of dogs fighting over a piece of meat. But, G.K. Chesterton spoke of the modern and morbid habit of always sacrificing the normal to the abnormal. Well, That's a great one-line definition of liberalism. Sacrificing the normal to the abnormal. For example, when they talk about gay rights, I just want to laugh at the phrase. My grandfather used to say, you can't have two bulls in the same pasture. But I guess the premise of gay rights is two bulls can have a lasting relationship in the same pasture.
And they're very serious about it, too. I mean, if you would ask them, you know, you're exactly right. You want to laugh because it's so absurd. And then they're deadly serious about it. I mean, these homosexuals want minority rights now. They think they're the new civil rights victims.
Right. Yeah. In fact, the other day, the New York Times called laws defining marriage as, you know, a union of man and woman, enshrining bigotry in the Constitution.
Bigotry. We laugh again. I've said this several times tonight. We laugh to keep from crying. I mean, and this whole just. Absurdity with this gay marriage debate.
Oh,
I mean, how is it even a debate? It just makes me sick to see Americans really entertaining this ludicrous notion. But Bill, I want to turn it over to you for a moment because I know you got some good questions.
Well, I do have some questions, and I think this discussion of normalcy is very important because clearly the term normal has been a target of the extreme left since the Frankfurt School theorists came to America.
Right.
And they're the ones who began to really smear the word normal in terms of our perceptions of it. But I think it's extremely ironic that radicalism really began in this country, and I'm talking about radicalism in terms of the destruction of the Constitution, with the election of a politician from Illinois in 1860 by Republicans, and now we have the fulfillment of that radicalism with the election of a politician from Illinois in 2008. Mr. Sobram, where do you think this radicalism is going to go in terms of policies and practices of this government, and finally consolidating their power to the point where, to the point of no return? When do you think that'll happen?
Well, again, I think it already has happened. I mean, there are the limits of government are very obscure and shifting. I think it would be a real educational experience for President-elect Obama to study the life of Lincoln a bit, because Lincoln wanted change. One of the changes he wanted was to free all the slaves and then deport them from this country with their consent. He wanted an all-white America, and he made no bones about it. You never hear about this. You know, even his biographers soft-pedal it. But it's right there in black and white. He was passionate about this, absolute passion. He was a segregationist, honest Abe. And, I mean, when people idealize Lincoln, I always want to say, do you know what you're saying? Are you listening to yourself? Do you know anything about Lincoln? Man, that guy was... he would be so startled to wake up and find that he's become a symbol of, you know, empowerment for blacks. He's the first president to invite blacks to the White House. And the reason he invited them in August of 1862 was to urge the free blacks to lead other blacks out of this country. He said separation is best for both races. So, you know, this is the kind of history I wish more Americans knew a little bit about, so they wouldn't make a lot of silly assumptions about our past and traditions.
Well, I think, again, that's just a testament to, I guess, two things, the ignorance of the people and how devoid they are of historical fact, and the power that the media has to create fiction from fact.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lincoln was certainly an evil man, not for the reasons you mentioned, but for other reasons that we don't need to get into tonight. But
we certainly can't say that Lincoln was good for white people. He killed 600,000 white people in this country through his warmongering. I mean, clearly, whatever his views on blacks, he was not good for whites.
Right. Well, that's a whole other subject, I suppose, for another time. But he was a remarkable man, all right, but not the man he's supposed to have been. Education now means propaganda, and in fact, it's job training more than anything. It doesn't mean liberal education of the kind that prepares you to read Plato and listen to Bach and so forth. It's just for the purpose of making money so you can pay taxes and become a faithful servant of the state.
Well, let me ask you this, Mr. Sobran, because this will segue us back into the conversation we were having, but will still allow me to infuse the name of Lincoln. We only have about a minute before our first break. Why are conservatives, and again, I use that term loosely, apt to like King and Lincoln now, as opposed to decades earlier when many conservatives hated these people and people like them who wanted to expand government? I mean, now these are the heroes of the Republican Party.
Well, that's because they don't have any core of principle resistance to the fads of the day. So they're swept right along, and they want to be acceptable, and they want power. So, you know, they just throw in the towel.
Well, I think Bob Whitaker coined the term, or at least he was the first person I heard to use it, respectable conservative, and that is what's dominating the Republican Party now, and that's the reason that it's become so woefully ineffective. They could not have done a worse job to nominate John McCain. I don't even know if he was trying to win the election. We'll talk more about that, and Ron Paul. So much more we're going to talk about with Joe Sober. We got to take a break, though. We'll be back in the political cesspool with James Edwards and Bill Rowland right after these words from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Now that the election is over and the shock is beginning to wear off, Ready Reserve Foods, in an effort to get as many Americans prepared for the promised changes of the new administration and to help you and your family survive the global economic crash, Ready Reserve is offering the pre-inauguration special. Between now and January 20th, 2009, all food units U1 through U7 are being offered at wholesale prices. That's a 33% savings. A year's supply of meals starts as low as 73 cents per meal. Ready Reserve Food offers only the highest quality dehydrated food, packed in double enameled cans in an inert nitrogen atmosphere, allowing a 15-plus year shelf life. Ready Reserve has been manufacturing since 1972, giving them the freedom to offer you amazing savings. Great-tasting Ready Reserve Foods at wholesale prices. Order now at ReadyReserveFoods.com or call today, 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
If you can handle the truth, pick up a copy of Plain Truth by John Tate, a concise critique of contemporary American government for its refusal to acknowledge our true origins as a Western Christian nation. Plain Truth will inform and inspire readers who are eager to partake in the long and difficult process necessary to restore the American Republic. As citizens of this great republic, we can perform no more important task than realizing our duty to preserve our unique culture, heritage, and people despite a formidable foe within our own nation. Read Plain Truth and you'll discover the importance of identifying the cause, exploring the consequences, and discovering solutions to our unfortunate situation. The debate must shift toward a focus upon culture, history, and nationalism. Plain Truth by John Tate proves that racial diversity and Republican government are incompatible with one another. Plain Truth by John Tate is available through Amazon, Target, Borders, and Barnes & Noble bookstores.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johnglia.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johnglia.com.
Let's return to the political cesspool and our own bunch of rebels, the political cesspool guys. So today, I'll
be standing right by. Welcome back to the show, everyone. James Edwards and Bill Rowland here with you on AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee this evening, Saturday night, December 6th, and broadcasting to our affiliate stations via satellite and the Republic Broadcasting Network.
We're joined by the very prestigious writer, Mr. Joe Sobern, and our conversation with Mr. Sobern will continue now. I'm sitting here laughing during the commercial break, reading some quotes that Mr. Sobern has written in his articles over the years. I'm going to get to some of these a little bit later. These are just pearls of wisdom, and I think you're going to enjoy them. But, Joe, let me ask you this. What do you call the present American system? I mean, what kind of government do we have today?
Oh, gosh.
And you can't use any foul language, unfortunately.
Okay, well, thanks. That really inhibits me, you know.
I had to put that out there. I know that was a provocative, loaded question there.
Yeah, I don't know what to call it because it's such a lawless government. And to call it a democracy, it's a joke. It's not a democracy. It's not a republic. It's not a monarchy. I don't know what you call it. It's a mess. But I don't think there's a term that covers it. It's so chaotic. I wish if only people would read the Constitution, the Federalist Papers, and the Anti-Federalist Papers, so they'd know what the stakes were. And they'd realize how far this government just deviates every day from the limits that were, you know, imposed in the Constitution. The real Constitution is built around the Ninth and Tenth Amendments. The Declaration of Independence says that the 13 entities are and the right ought to be free and independent states. And so that means sovereign states. And that means states that can, of course, withdraw from the Union if they want to. And this is what Lincoln totally overlooked. I don't know if it was by ignorance or ill will or what, but at any rate, he didn't understand the clear meaning. A state is, by definition, a sovereign entity. So
well,
New Jersey,
not so much anymore. Apparently, it was. No, I know that's a question that doesn't really have an easy answer, but I just want to take advantage to the fullest extent that we have in the short time we do have available to ask you some of these questions because you know we got to get some of this stuff on record. People just don't have perspective. We got to go to break, Mr. Sobern. Again, short break, short segment there. We're going to come back. We're going to let you pick it up right there when the political cesspool continues here on RBN. Right after these words from our sponsors, don't go anywhere. James Edwards and Bill Rowland back with you in just a moment.
Don't go away. There's still one more hour of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Decide what